Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times. Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Oh!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
Welcome, folks. We're back. It's Reese on the Radio. Just 1 minute after the hour. I'm Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. That's it. This is what I call it official 2012. So we break over the sort of one month in. That's 80s then. This is right at that point where you can no longer use the terms like Happy New Year. Can't say it anymore. That's it. You haven't told everybody that you know Happy New Year. You know, you don't see these people often enough to tell them Happy New Year in the first place. I don't even know exactly what I think it's like 15 days, maybe 14, 15 days after that. You don't have to say Happy New Year anymore. It starts getting ridiculous after. Once you start getting to February, you haven't seen them. They're not your friend. You need to tell. That all is a joke. There's it's not a lot of news, unfortunately, today. There's a lot of stories, but just not a lot of news. But when I say that, I mean nothing relevant that I even wish to talk about. About the Florida primary, which we will. We'll get to that near the end of the show. Because it's a boring topic. You know, it can only go so far. No one's really said anything that I find inflammatory yet, but they will. They always do. We'll wait until after the primary. It looks like Mitt Romney is going to take it, as many people are already suggesting. Marco Rubio said today that it was pretty much a wrap. It's over. Mitt Romney wins Florida, there's your GOP candidate. Nothing else left to say. And maybe that's the case. It could be the case. I don't agree, but it could be the case. I'm still rooting for Newt. That's just me. The only reason why I want Newt is because I know that Newt Gingrich will take it to Barack Obama. I need to see Barack Obama out of his comfort zone. See, it took forever for John McCain to take it to President Obama. I think it was like the third, it had to be around the third debate where finally McCain decided to get feisty with Barack Obama. It was too little, it was too late. Wouldn't go after him. And he was dismissive at best. Barack Obama's momentum was already there. So, and I know that the one guy that will take him out of his comfort zone are guys like Mitt Romney. Well, sorry, Newt Gingrich. Mitt Romney, maybe he will. He's looking to get a little feistier now. Getting his feet under him so far. So maybe maybe it might be a tough and contentious debate. I just want to see it. It's unfortunate that I'm going to be forced to root for Mitt Romney if Newt Gingrich does not evolve in his GOP primary. But as the results come in, and if there are any precincts that come in or any exit polls that come in, you know, we'll tell you about them. We'll let you know what's up. But I want to talk about today about singing competition. So there's big news today that three of the cast members of the Fox TV show, The X Factor, were let go today. And, you know, not many people really care about this show. The ratings show it. Didn't matter that Simon Cowell and Paula Abdul left American Idol and they brought in Steven Tyler and Jennifer Lopez. It didn't seem to matter. Ratings are still up to 20 million. 20 million on Nielsen. So it doesn't seem like it's affecting Idol all that much. And I know why Idol works the way that it does. I mean, I'm well aware of why people watch American Idol in the beginning or why it gets such great ratings. I think primarily that it has everything to do with the horrible people. You know, the whole, you know, the rubbernecking thing, watching people completely implode and destroy themselves on the air. People who think that they can sing, but they can't, and we get to make fun of them. We get to sort of cringe as we watch people belt out Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston songs. And that's the reason why we watch. Hey, I've got nothing against it, you know. If the person's so bad, I'd probably turn away, because for me, it's just horrible to watch. But like I was saying, the X Factor had a huge shakeup today. Got rid of Paula Abdul. Got rid of Nicole Schwarzenegger, and got rid of Steve, who is, I guess, the Ryan Seacrest of this whole thing. And right now, there are some stories I just read in Yahoo News. I thought I was the only one who saw this as the reason to why there was a shakeup. But apparently, it's come out now that people are agreeing with me, and I had this as soon as I saw it. I knew it was going to happen. I knew something had to give, and sure enough, it did. Now, what exactly did give? Well, folks, I'll be the first to tell you, I can't stand when parents pimp out their kids. And you can't get little kids out there on the stroll performing for breadcrumbs, because they can't personally, they can't. Girls are different. They are. That's a part of the makeup. It's who it is that they are. And, you know, rejection is the worst thing for a girl to deal with. Hey, hell, an adult woman can't deal with it. Rejection. It's hard for a woman to deal with rejection. Very hard for a woman to deal with rejection. So can you imagine a little girl amongst thousands of people watching her sing and dance, shake a tail feather for the approval of strangers? Don't you remember what happened on The X Factor? I could not. I'm telling you. How do I put this? Nobody laughed harder than me. Nobody laughed harder than me.
The act who got the lowest number of votes and who America is sending home is... Rachel Crowe. We'll see you in the semi-final. Off we go. We'll see you next week. Now, off you go, Marcus.
Time for everybody. Let's take a look at Rachel's highlights of her time on the X Factor. Run it, please.
That little girl took down three contestants on the X Factor. That little girl's horrific breakdown took out Nicole, Paula, and Steve Vera Rapp. That 13-year-old girl fell apart on me, and no one laughed harder than me. Hey, call it cruel. Call it cruel. But it wasn't that she wasn't a good, she wasn't bright. She was very entertaining. She had a Shirley Temple-like appeal about her that I thought was very entertaining, very cutesy. The girls should go straight to Nickelodeon, Disney Channel, Network, whatever it is that the kids are watching on cable these days. She's this generation's Raven. She's going to get a deal on one of those little kids' channels. I promise you. She might show up on Zoom. Is the new Zoom still out? How about the new electric company? Are those things still alive? But that little girl, she's going to get her break. It doesn't matter. Unfortunately, they're always going to remember that breakdown. And so will Paula. So will Nicole. And so will Steve. Did you watch them? Did you watch how they reacted? Nicole couldn't control herself. You're not prepared to judge kids in these talent competitions. JC is telling me, he said, try again. I laughed harder than anyone I know. Oh, you have no idea, my man. I needed to see this breakdown. I knew it was going to come to this. I knew it was. When I found out that they were allowing little kids to do this performing stuff, I knew it. I knew those kids couldn't handle that kind of pressure, and nor should they be allowed to. Kids can't deal with that. They've never been in that atmosphere. So simple and plain. That little girl took down the ship. Look at the way that little boy, what was it called, Astro? Look at the way that boy responded. I'm surprised he didn't start throwing chairs, calling everybody and their mother the B word, losing his mind. So the worst part about all of this is, what are they going to do the next time around? Shouldn't they have some sort of like psychologist or? Yeah, I think Jess is a psychologist backstage, a child psychologist, in the back talking to children, getting them prepared for the letdown. Or you're going to see another breakdown, just like you did. JC, you're going to tell me you laughed at this? You know, I know that you're just as passionate as I am about watching complete mayhem.
Oh, it was like watching a train wreck.
Who are you laughing for? I mean, you weren't laughing at the girl per se, were you?
Oh, hell, I wasn't.
Oh, you were laughing at her.
I was listen, I was laughing at the girl, the reaction, the producers. I said, oh, look at this black child up here now. She's been strong throughout the whole competition. I can handle it. I can handle it. I understand, Nicole. And when they forever voted her off and she broke down and hit the floor.
That was the
And
point.
Those white folks she... ain't know what to do.
See, for me, it was watching everyone else's reaction to this girl
breakdown.
When
these white folks ain't know what to do to calm this little black girl down.
Oh, but she's a little biracial girl. You saw a white mother come up there and console her. I want to know.
There wasn't a whole... Listen. There was not a whole lot Mommy Dearest could do. Keep it real and
what
honest. You've seen
what
it, Reese. Reese? Now, our kids may not disrespect us in the hood, like in going to a grocery store and start screaming and cursing at us, like their white counterparts. But
right.
we will get in the grocery store and fall out on the floor, holler, screaming, and kick. We know the ass whooping's coming.
Yeah, but
we know
what I'm saying.
Huh?
No, what I'm saying is that for me, it wasn't. I couldn't laugh at the girl because she was going through a hard time. I couldn't laugh at her. I was shocked when she hit the ground. But when she started crying and the adults didn't know what to do,
oh, they were
scrambling for answers out of control. This girl, Simon Cowell, completely out of character, being the knight in shining armor to this little girl. The part that with all of that was happening, the part that I want answers to, and I still want answers, is when that little girl says, "Mommy, you promised. Mommy, you promised." I want to know what mommy promised.
Oh, because no. Oh, so you didn't hear it. Okay.
No, I meant...
Huh?
No, please tell me. What did mommy promise?
Oh, okay. No. Mommy's like, baby, this is not the end. This is not the end. He says, You promise? Oh, I loved
it.
See, no, mommy, I'm sure mommy had already gotten calls or had feelers sent to her from Nickelodeon, from Disney, and all that good stuff. Because, I mean, look at it. Raven, they didn't slut it Raven Simone up. It's time for her to hit the bricks.
Yeah, I mean, she is the new Raven Simone, this little witch.
She's trying to drop it like it's hot on the levels that that Lisa Bonet could only imagine.
Now, look, everything that happened throughout this ordeal, the way that it all played out, for me personally, it was not only unexpected, because I didn't watch it live. I heard about it the next day and saw it online.
I watched it live. I watched it live.
When I saw it online, I was going, "Oh my God, I gotta watch this show."
Oh
but,
no!
You had to get rid of. Do you think the decision was right to get rid of Nicole, Paula, and this guy Steve Jones? Do you think it was right to get rid of them?
I mean, what was the reason for getting rid of them? That's what I didn't understand.
Haven't disclosed it. They have not disclosed the reasons why.
Okay, because I often wondered. What business did she have there to begin with, Nicole? Nicole Scherzinger.
Probably because she was somebody who hadn't had an album out, had nothing coming out. She still had a little bit of popularity. She's pretty. I don't know. She's someone in the business. She was probably going to use this to launch another album, maybe another single. But, you know, L.A. Reid, what I saw about this was that L.A. Reid and Simon, they were ruthless and did not care. But
right.
when Paula and Nicole got emotional behind this Rachel thing, and when Steve Jones, the host, when he drops down on his knee, first he ushers the Marcus kid. You saw the way he ushered him, he said, off with you. He tells him, "Get up out of here, kid. See you next week." And the way down on one knee, he's completely devastated. He has no proposal. That's the part that's
he doesn't know whether to go to commercial, cut away from the camera. Oh, I loved it.
I loved it every bit.
Every single second of it. While it was happening live, it was like being in a $450 seat at the front row of WrestleMania, and it's the main event. That's what
she,
it was like for me.
Forever, she will be the face.
Listen, Reese, I knew, no matter how strong she said she was.
Yeah, you didn't believe it one bit.
Oh, not for a second, because you got to remember, she had the nastiest guy in the music industry for this type of setting on her side. She had Simon Cowell. He who told Jennifer Holliday, Jennifer Hudson in her silver dress, that she looked like a Christmas ham.
You know what was interesting? That's an interesting dynamic, an interesting point you just made. Because here was a girl who felt like the only person who had the authority to judge her was Simon, and Simon was touting her, lauding over her. She thought she had it in the bag.
Oh, of course.
She
had the meanest man. She had the meanest man on music audition television behind her, 100%.
Right.
Because she was his baby.
That's right. And he legitimized her. And as a 13-year-old girl, probably looking up to him,
there was no way she
was
going home.
Right. I got nothing to fear. I got nothing to fear. You know what she probably meant by when she said, "You promised, Mama, you promised"? Told her, "Baby girl, Simon likes you. Simon's the star of this show. Forget about them, those two wannabe singers and dancers, Nicole and what's name. And I don't know who the bald black guy is, but, you know, he ain't nobody. Simon is the guy. And if Simon handpicks you, you're going to be a star." And she said, "You promise, Mommy? Promise, baby." And that's what she said. Now, let's watch it again. Let's listen again.
The act who got the lowest number of votes and who America is sending home is... Rachel Crowe. Congratulations, we'll see you in the semifinal. Off you go.
Okay, this is an emotional time for everybody. Let's take a look at Rachel's highlights of her time on the X Factor. Run it, please.
He's like, Steve Jones is like, "Run it, please. Run it, please. Let's get away from this. Run it." Mary, why are you bugging us? Joins us. Mary, of course, if you're just joining us, we just started talking about the whole the switch up over at the X Factor. Nicole is gone. Paul Abdul is gone. Steve Jones, the host, is gone. The only people left is Simon Cowell and L.A. Reid. Did you watch when this 13-year-old, how old was she?
I'm not sure how old she was. I know she was young. I don't think she was that old.
I think she was a preteen, but whatever it was, you know, she was voted off. She had a complete meltdown on the show when she was voted off by the audience. And both speculation, Yahoo News is reporting that they believe the reason why Nicole Scherzinger, whatever her name is, and Paul Abdul and Steve Jones were let go is because of the Rachel Crowe debacle. Did you watch this, Mary?
No, I did not watch it, but that little girl was hysterical.
Well, here we go with our bleeding heart. Go ahead, cry it out. Cry it out for me.
There's no bleeding heart. I mean, it is what it is. You take your losses and you take your wins. You got to keep moving. I mean, she was hysterical, but what was her mother promising her?
That's what we were talking about.
Her mom had said, "I read her mom's lips."
Yeah.
I was reading her mom's lips. Her mom was like, you know, baby, look at me. It's not over. And she said, you promise, you know?
Yeah, but it is over. When you get voted off, it's over.
Oh, yeah, just that competition, but come on.
Just that competition. But as I said earlier, that girl's going to be on Nickelodeon, the Disney Channel, one of these silly little, you know, children's networks. She's going to be on there, and she's going to get her
own. And Reese, I assure you, they're not going to touch that little nappy head, nasty attitude Negro Astro. Do you know how bad I want to slap him?
Whoa, who are you talking about?
Astro.
That kid's getting a record deal.
I wanted to slap the taste out of his mouth. That disrespectful. that future liquor store robber. He got on my nerve. I couldn't believe how difficult. I don't want to sing. They don't want to. They don't. I feel like I want to sing for people that don't want me.
Well,
you're lucky you made it this far on that garbage rap.
But see, JC, this is the point that I was bringing up. This is what I think. This is horrible about the X Factor. The X Factor gave all of these very young, immature, unprepared children an opportunity to be on the grand stage. One sign of rejection, these kids tailspin. You don't agree with that?
To a degree, I understand, but not everybody got to take the Joe Jackson kick me down a flight of stairs since I was 3 years old approach to music.
Yeah,
but at that age, how can you? At that age, you don't know any better.
Yeah, you want it.
Yeah.
You want it, and I can agree with that. I mean, hell, I wanted my kids in commercials so bad when I was little, and Robin wouldn't let me.
I'll leave Robin alone.
Okay. Try this off the side. This is what I'm saying. If your kid does one of these mall competitions, you know, like they have the little girls doing the beauty contest, you know, and, you know, they have the little pageants, the, you know, JonBenet Ramsey contest, you know, whatever, and they're doing these little beauty competitions with young kids, and they're starting them off very young, like that TV show Dance Moms that everyone seems to love.
Never seen it.
You know, when they start them off very young, they're prepared for loss and failure and losing. They're prepared for that kind of stuff. But these are kids who walk onto a stage with thousands of people, a nationally televised program. If it's 10 million people, that's more audience than they've ever dealt with before. And they got to go out there and they got to shake their thing and sing their song. And if they get rejected by the American audience, this isn't you being rejected at your high school or your junior high. This is getting rejected on a global level. And, you know, if this isn't something that kids cannot possibly grasp, they can't wrap their head around that. That's the point I'm making. If this girl, Rachel Crowe, her response to this abject dismissal by the general public is what caused that collapse.
She's going to be scarred for life, that little girl.
I wouldn't go scarred for life. I think she'll always remember that, and she'll mature and she'll get over it with the right therapy. I was saying earlier, Mary, that I think they should have a child psychologist on standby.
Well, they should, because of the fact that Simon Cowell is one of the judges. But what you were saying, that all the other judges got let go, what happened to everybody?
L.A. Reid and Simon Cowell are the only ones returning next season. Nicole was the one that caused this catastrophe. They're also blaming Paula Abdul because the tape suggests. Now, if you didn't watch the show, let me break it down to you. Simon's pony in the race was Rachel Crowe, the little girl. L.A. Reid, his pony was this kid, Markin. And everybody chose, so it was pretty much evenly laid out. Of course, Simon picked his pony, L.A. picked his, and it was even. Paula Abdul could have changed the tides and picked another person. But it went like this. Paula Abdul picked Rachel Crowe. Now, in order for this to be over with, all Nicole had to do was to choose one of the two. If she chose Marcus, then it would be a deadlock. If he chose Marcus, Marcus would be gone. Right, Marcus?
Right.
If I got this right, if she chose Marcus, Marcus would leave. So she doesn't know what to do because she doesn't want to tell any one of them that they should be kicked off the show. She's lost all of her. She's off the judge's competition, and now she has to make a decision. She can't do it. So Paula whispers over to her, just pick Rachel to go home, and that'll let the audience decide if you can't decide. So Nicole does it. She picks Rachel to go home. So It's a nod to Nicole. I understand. It's a hard decision to stand. So they leave it to the audience, because it's a deadlock, and the audience chooses Marcus, and they send Rachel home. And that's where she loses. So the reason why Paula Abdul is gone is because she told Nicole to pick Rachel to make it a deadlock, which she shouldn't have done. She should have just let Rachel, you know, step up and pick somebody. And the reason why they got rid of the host, Steve Jones, is because this guy collapses on one knee after Rachel loses it. He looks like a... Ryan Seacrest would have never done that.
I mean, is this show even really popular anyway? Who watches this? I mean, of course.
Listen, anything Simon Cowell touches is popular.
This is true, but it turns out that the numbers for the X Factor are only half of that for the current American Idol. And American Idol pulls in 20 million viewers, which is down from their numbers when Paula and Simon were there, but that's still great for network. So
it sounds like to me that this is like a remake, the millennium version of Sausage.
It is.
Well, they're both British programs. They're both British programs.
Because you don't have to just sing. You can dance. You can do a host of different things. And, you know, it's very, very multifaceted when it comes to the talent on the X Factor.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Reese, but it's like if American Idol and America's Got Talent had a baby.
I hate that show, America's Got Talent. I think that show is so stupid.
But the X Factor would be it.
Yeah, I guess that you're right.
They should just cancel the whole show.
I think you're right. I think that you're exactly right. The X Factor is a hybrid of America's Got Talent and American Idol. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah. But they're all British-born. They're all British-born television shows.
That's exactly right. And
Simon Cowell brought them all here. That's why. I mean, do you ever? You know how much he's worth?
No, what's his worth?
I'm sure he's worth a pretty penny. I know he is, but
Simon Cowell is way up there. I mean, he's not even mentioned sometimes, but he's way up there.
Well, he gets a cut of everybody's album that's ever been on American Idol who has a professional career now.
He owns that 19 Entertainment.
That's correct, yeah. I mean, it's a big conglomerate, you know, in these entertainment shows. But you know what? I don't know. By the way, I don't know whether or not you heard this. Been reports Simon Cowell wants to now bring in Mariah Carey, if not as a judge, but as a coach. For some of the contestants, but there are rumors.
No, that's fine, and that's cool because that's someone I can actually sing. I sing, I can see Paula's reason for being
really
on the show.
Would you? Okay, that's someone that can really sing. I'll agree with you, Mariah. Or she used to be able to sing. I mean, Mariah Carey
used to.
Listen, she gets on my nerves so much. She gets under my skin. I cannot stand her. That whole fake, oh, my God, that whole, like, I'm high all the time. I don't know. She's, like, out of her mind. And she was not like that before. I like her from back in the 80s and the 90s, not this
when
Mariah Carey
singing,
today.
When she was singing all that light radio favorites and all that elevator music type crap, that grocery store music.
It wasn't elevator music; it was love music.
Love music.
Well, I liked her when she was top 42. I agree. I agree with you there, man. I liked her more when she was top
42. No.
But
she made her way home.
I don't like.
Doesn't it seem like she's high all the time, or she's hopped up on something?
She's a very, very different woman today. I don't know what that's about, but that's her.
Well, I mean, she'll go back to that. I mean, she after she adopted Nick Cannon, you know?
She's got like that. It's like she has that dumb blonde syndrome, and she never got out of it. All of a sudden, she adopted
it
at some point.
Yeah, but I don't care how much of a dumb blonde she is. When maybe when they're comparing voices in the future, as they have been in recent past, when they talk about the Whitney Houstons, should they'll always follow with
Mariah Carey is right there with them. Do not get me wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying her persona she gets on my nerves. I'm like, what happened to you? She used to be one of my idols, just like Whitney Houston was, and then she got married to Bobby Brown and started smoking freaking crack.
Don't you stop.
Listen,
New Jersey. She's been had the crack in her system. She had that lifestyle in her system to begin with. You can't blame that on Bobby Brown. And they don't do. Boston's not known for crack.
All right, let's move on. When we come back, this is probably going to be sexist conversation ever. A 7-year-old girl was kicked off. A 7-year-old girl was kicked off her brother's football team because she is indeed a girl. And the reason, kicking her off, arming to one particular parent, and I'd probably assume some others. So when we come back, we'll talk about it. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be back.
Scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And you know, you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting. And you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back. The number is 347-308-8701. Log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com whenever you get a chance. And you can send us an email as well. And that'll be at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. When I saw this story, the thing that actually I found, I knew it was going to be some controversy when I saw this story. And the reason why I knew there would be was because any time that you start talking about boys versus girls, men versus women, there's always going to be an argument about what people think about boys versus girls, men versus women. I guess is the best way to put it. A seven-year-old girl was kicked off of her brother's baseball team. Her little brother, I believe it's just a year younger than her. And her reasons for being kicked off, some are saying, are controversial. They believe more or less that it's controversial because, according to what people are saying, even her mother, that the little girl is a better player than the little boy. But I want you to hear the story and take it with a grain. The question is whether or not the coach who made the decision to remove the little girl off the team was being sexist. And we'll play that, and I'll tell you exactly how I feel about this. Here's the story.
Anna Kimball just turned 7. Her brother Carson is almost 6. For the last 2 seasons, they've played baseball together on the same team. Until Anna's mom got a call from their coach Thursday night.
We are only one boy on the team, just not gold.
Anna's mom says she's registered her children with the Allen Sports Association for another year and can't understand why the decision is coming now, right before the season.
I can't believe that she's 7 and already having to face this. She's already having to face somebody say, you're, because of who you are, because you were born a girl, you're not allowed to go do something.
The coach is out of town, but in a phone conversation, he says it's not about girls not being allowed to play. He says his team is becoming more competitive and will move this season or next to a different league where girls don't play on boys' teams. Tammy Kimball says the coach told her Anna was a competitive player.
He was adamant that She is better than Carson. Carson can stay and play. She is not welcome.
The coach says other players, including another girl and some boys, are also being cut to make the team more competitive.
I felt sad. Very, very sad.
Carson is his sister's biggest fan.
I root for her on a team, and she's just a good person to play with on the baseball team.
And Carson knows what team he's on.
I just think that I can't play on the same team with my sister. I just think I should just quit all the sports I was playing.
And there you have it. The young girl kicked off the team. She's 7 years old. The brother is just about to turn six. And she's being kicked off. Is it unfair that she's being removed from the team? Some people would suggest no. Well, pardon me. Some people would suggest yes. It's unfair that she's being kicked off the team. And I'll be honest with you. These coaches and these players, you know, they don't have a lot riding on this stuff financially. It's league play. The kids win trophies. They play to win. Some people would suggest that these games are supposed to be about the kids having fun. But see, use the word competitive. Things are going to be more competitive in a different league. It doesn't believe that girls should be allowed to play. Now, I know what people are going to say. I know how people feel. But I think we need to teach more competition. Now, if the girl wants to play, I think as a seven-year-old, she's probably not going to play on a competitive level that some boys will. And coaches are concerned about being strict, harsh, maybe even demanding of little girls. As a father, some of them may have a little problem with saying, you know, Amy, come on, hustle. Come on, you got to pick up the ball. Come on, you got to throw it to first base. What are you doing? He might be a little harsh with the little girl, which could end up hurting her feelings. If she doesn't play well in a competitive league, he may send her home crying. No man wants to be that guy. No guy wants to be out there in the field where he's yelling or chastising a little girl about the way she's playing with a father in the stands who's sitting up there going, yo, why is he talking to my little girl like that? Come on, you've seen where there have been leagues and baseball games and football games where fathers have come out and attacked the coach and attacked the referee. You've seen this. And the scrutiny of coaches are going to be a lot higher if you've got a seven-year-old girl out there. Can you imagine having to chastise a little girl about horrible play, not following the rules, not hitting the cutoff man, not sliding when she's supposed to, not swinging the bat effectively, not getting on base, not running fast enough, not going for the ball, being afraid of the ball when it's hit at her fast? Can you imagine that? He's got to scrutinize a seven-year-old girl. He can do it to a seven-year-old boy. But can you imagine that to a little girl? He's protecting that little girl from having to deal with that kind of, you know, vitriol. That kind of, you know, she's going to think that the old man's angry at her, or that he doesn't like her, or that she's not good enough. Well, okay, she's already thinking she's not good enough because she got kicked off the team. But he's sparing her a lifetime of pain. Don't you think? So I think it was a good call. And that's just me. All right, folks. Am I boneheaded here, or do I have at least some point?
Okay, first of all, the little girl obviously was a good player. I mean, that even the coach said that, and was better than her little brother. I don't know what the motivation behind them changing. It sounded to me like he said, you know, they're changing leagues and or whatever, and they're going to, you know, just the league that they're, or the competitive league that they're going into, is going to be all boys. But how competitive is a child? You're leaving the little brother on the team. How competitive is the little brother at the age of less than 6 years old? How competitive is this team really going to be? This is like peewee ball, right?
They can be very competitive. And I think they can be extremely competitive.
And you said, if I could touch on what you said about, oh, you know, come on, you've seen at football games and baseball games, the fathers come out of the stand and they attack the coach and they this. And so that's not healthy for a little girl to see, but it's healthy behavior for a little boy to see. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I'm not suggesting that. No, what I said was that if a coach is harsh on a little girl, it's more likely that a parent will be upset that the coach was harsh on her, and a parent might confront the coach about that. The coach is saying to himself, and probably saying, "Mother, don't tell me how to coach this team. You signed this child up. Don't think that when they come out here, I'm going to sit up here and, you know, I'm going to coach them with niceness. This is a game, and the object is to win the game. It's to play
well and
to compete."
And that's correct. If you're a boy or a girl and you're playing on the same team, you're playing on a team, everybody should be treated equally. And what makes anybody think that a little girl cannot handle the same scrutiny that a little boy could?
Okay, can I jump in?
Please.
It's not a matter of what the little girl can handle, what the little girl's parent can handle.
That's awesome.
In regards to how the coach may be harsh on her child, if he's harsh on Princess as hard as he is on Prince, then you're going to have a problem with it. That's my little girl.
Then that's your problem. Why make the little girl suffer?
Let her play with her little brother when she gets home. Go in the yard and play.
Come on now, gentlemen.
Yes.
I think I think that the problem lies in the fact that this coach, the little girl was probably better than all the rest of the boys on the team, and the coach was getting slack from the little boy's parents, the fathers probably, the sexist, that this little girl was beating, you know, was outgoing the rest of these little boys and beating them at their own game. So that's probably why they threw off the damn team.
She's probably a Chloe, 7 years old and 5'8".
Well, no, she's very, very small. As you can listen to the kids, they have like a little lisp. They're so cute. But look, if you want your daughter to compete in sports, put her in a girls' league. That's what they have.
In a girls' league, exactly.
But why can't she play with the boys? Why can't they play on a co-ed team? There's plenty of co-ed teams.
I think that's wrong. But, you know,
for the same reason.
You think having a co-ed team is wrong?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, this is a league. Listen. This is a league. This is not like my classroom versus your classroom. It's not recess.
That's right.
This is a league.
So you should only play amongst one another and intermingle with other, you know, other sexes other than your own if you're playing in recess?
We don't need our kids coaching in sports. We don't. It's not something that we have to have.
Your audio is breaking up, please.
I'm sorry. I coached a co-ed soccer league back in 2005 and 2006. I had 1, 2, 3 girls on my team. Okay? If I remember this correctly, 2, 3, girls on my team, all right? These girls never scored a point, never made an assist. All these girls did was just kick the ball every time it came near them. They didn't do anything constructive on that entire team. I want to give you a breakdown. So at the end of the year,
Let me shut my mic off. Hold on, please.
I had a Japanese kid who didn't speak any English. The kid scored like 15 to 17 goals in the entire season. We only played 8 games. Okay? No, it was 9 games. Our record was 7-1-1. He scored at least 15 goals. I had two other boys. One kid was an Indian kid, another kid was a Spanish kid, and those two scored 7 and 5 goals respectively. When I handed out personal awards for each and every one of the players, I could break down every personal thing. Like, one kid got the Hart Award, and that was my stepson. No, pardon me, Best Defense Award. That was my stepson. Most important, this little kid named Julian. The girls, you know what they got? They got an award for being great teammates. Because I couldn't think of one thing that they did on the team that helped us win.
But it's not about, at that age, it's not about just winning. It's about going out there and mingling with one another. And, yes, you should be competitive. So you should have some type of competitiveness with you. But all you're thinking about is win, 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 because if they win, then Reese was a good, because Reese is the coach. Then, you know, I've done a good job with these kids, and I've led them to how many wins.
If it's not about winning, why keep score?
Okay.
If it's not
because that's the way the game is, Reese, but not at that age. At that age, it shouldn't just be all about winning. It should be about building a team, about working together as a team. I mean, those are the years that you teach your kids to intermingle and to coexist, you know, in a team fashion. So you can't just say, oh, it's all about winning. It's not about winning. Of course, when you win, it's great. Who doesn't love being a winner?
Okay,
we all do.
Mary?
What?
You know, she sounds
why
crazy.
Why should the soccer field be the place to teach them to intermingle? Soccer doesn't go on all year round.
Why shouldn't it be? What's the matter with teaching them to intermingle in all aspects of their life?
That's not good.
Because life doesn't work that way.
Exactly. Life doesn't work that way.
Opinion that life doesn't work that way. Life can work that way.
In a perfect world.
Mary, you know what I taught my kids on that thing? The first day we met the kids, I met the kids to be their new coach, and I got my team. I'd never met any of these kids before. Me and my stepson, we show up. As soon as I walk in, I have a piece of paper stapled to my shirt, my T-shirt. And on my T-shirt, it reads the word TEAM, T-E-A-M. Written as an acronym. The words on the shirt read, "Together, everyone accomplishes more." That's what it said on my shirt. Together, everyone accomplishes more. That was the acronym for TEAM. And I told them that you work together as a team, we will win. You help your teammates, you fight for your teammates, you work for your teammates. Your role in this game may be trivial. You may be there to stand around. You may play defense all year. But if you are a great defensive player, you might play defense and never score a goal. But if you keep the other team from scoring a goal on us, you've achieved something. That's what I taught them. And that's what it is, about knowing your role in life. These are life lessons. That's the reason why we put kids in organized sports. We not only teach them how to win, but we also teach them how to lose. And we teach them how to do both. And if you're going in there and you're telling every kid that, oh, it's just about having fun, they learn zippo, zilch, nada. They learn nothing. And that's the reason why, if you're telling the girls who were on the team before that this is a competitive sport now, we're not going to teach you girls how to get along socially. This is about winning. This is about teaching how to win and lose, how to fight hard. That's the only way that you can achieve, is if you fight hard and learn how to win. This isn't a social experiment. This is team sports. If you want to put your kid on some sort of sports team that doesn't keep score and you just want your kid to run around for an hour, so be it. Find some place that does that, that teaches that mamby, pamby, chamomile tea drinking, free hugging, peacenik book crap.
Okay, the two of you are like a bunch of brutes. And are you saying that a girl, that a female, cannot be just as competitive or cannot be more competitive than a male, than her male counterpart can?
Let me answer this question.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
And I agree. And I don't like to agree with them.
Robin, call in and help me, please, because these boys have lost their minds.
Listen, the girls on his team, what did they do, Reese, when the ball came to them?
They just kicked it and ran.
What are you supposed to do in soccer? You're supposed to kick the damn ball.
Reese?
Yeah?
And be honest, when the ball came by, they kicked and they missed the ball, and the ball went by them, did they have Rachel Crow breakdowns?
Listen to me. We're going to do the top of the hour. When we come back, I'm going to break down every girl on my team. I only had three. I'm going to break them down, and you're going to be surprised because one of the girls was a Japanese girl. And when I tell you, this is the reason why I agree wholeheartedly with my view on this. Let's go to be right back. It's Reese on the Radio right there on Blog Talk Radio.
You agree because you're sexist.
I'm not. Right.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Mary had a little man
that
was quite a snow, and everywhere that Mary went, from there was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah! Ah!
Ah! I never once said na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Welcome back, folks. It's Reese on the Radio live on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. And we're talking about why girls cannot play with sports. And they can't. Nor should they be allowed. Although everybody thinks that it should be fair. But I say with the money that some of these people collect, and that's the little leagues that they collect, that, look, have a separate, you know, group for girls. Do it separately. You don't need to play with the boys. You as girls, you can play your own games with your little girlfriends. You guys don't want to keep score? Don't keep score. You girls, you want to talk about how everything is fair and, you know, and everybody's just out to have a good time? Go play your own sports with yourselves. I've got no problem with that. If that's the way you want to raise little girls, raise little boys. But we need to teach our boys how to be men. We have to teach them how to win. And teach them how to lose with dignity. Now, before the top of the hour, I was talking about why it is that I know that girls cannot compete with boys. And I had three girls on my team. Now, there are 11 players on a soccer field, very, very much like football. And I had four alternates. And I remember this team well because, I'll admit, it was an astronomical success that I had with this team. Again, in 9 games, we had 7. We won 7, lost 1. Our record was 7-1-1 and won the championship. And the way that we won was, trust me, it was tremendous because we beat one of the best teams in the league. And it was the first year that I was the coach of the soccer league. It's the first time. I just learned all the rules and how to make your team competitive that year. I had to get what's called an F license, which was 2 days, 12 hours both days, and I had to learn everything about the sport, pass the physical, pass the aptitude test, and then I was able to coach. So I had to get an F license, and then I was able to coach. And went in there and coached that team and took us to victory first year. The guys who had been on this league or part of this league, those guys hated my guts because I came out there the first year and I won. And they gave me a bunch of scrappy little kids that nobody liked or wanted. And the three girls that I had, one girl was an Italian girl. Her father was my assistant coach. She was very shy. But she was a nice girl. And she was tall. She had long legs. And she looked like, you know, she had some power, like she could kick. But she was a girl. And she was at that age, because I had the 11, 12-year-olds, like 10, 11-year-olds, I apologize, 10, 11-year-olds. And they were a little, you know, girls are a little curious at that age about exactly who it is that they are. They're just finding themselves, whether or not I'm a girly girl or I'm a sporty girl or I'm, you know, kind of a tomboy, you know, whatever. The second girl I had was an Indian girl. Very, very straight black hair, very pretty, a little pudgy, but not like pudgy like fat, but like, you know, like a baby. She had like baby fat. You know, the average little girl her age. But she was athletic. She didn't get tired. She didn't get winded. Very, very active. Could run. And then I had this little girl. She was the shortest of all the people on the team, with the exception of my stepson. She was a Japanese girl, but she had been in America long enough. Very Americanized Japanese girl. And she had that brownish skin as a Japanese girl. Now, she was the tomboy, but she liked boys, if you get my meaning. Like, she loved my stepson. She was crazy about him. But when they got together, what did the two of them do? They wrestled down the hill, down a grassy hill. They would grab each other and, like, wrestle each other and roll down the hill, and they would play fight. But they clearly liked each other. They loved each other. And he had a crush on her. I think that she actually started his little thing for Asian girls. And she was crazy about him. She used to kiss him on the cheek and give him a hug, but she used to roughhouse with him like she was a boy. But she was, you know, she was feminine in one sense, but she was kind of boyish in another. So, but she was athletic, and she knew the game. She was probably the most athletic out of all of them, out of all the girls. She's even a little more athletic than some of the boys. Like, I had this kid, Julian. Very, very introverted. Quiet, kept to himself, only answered yes and no. But he followed my direction all the time. And he played defense. He bought himself some prescription goggles so the ball wouldn't hit him in the face. He would be a person you would call a complete nerd. And he was an Indian kid. He was a complete nerdy kind of kid, but he followed direction. And when I told that boy, don't let a ball get past you. You hustle. You give everything you got. He never disappointed. No ball got past him. He was the most improved. He never played the game before, but he followed every direction. He did everything I asked him. And his mother and father said to me every day, he loves playing for you. He loves coming to practice. You're the best thing that ever happened to him. Now, the girls, when they used to run around, they used to kick the ball. The Italian girl, she just kicked the ball, just kicked it, just to get it away from her. She didn't even do it. Every time I told her, kick it to one of your teammates, she wouldn't listen. She just kicked the ball. When it came to her, kick was coming down. I said, the ball comes at you. You see a guy coming with you, and he's dribbling the ball towards you. Just kick it away from him, but try to kick it to your teammate. She never did that. She always kicked it to her teammate. She practically passed for the other team. The Indian girl, she didn't have a clue what she was doing. She just followed the ball up and down the field. Wherever they were kicking it, she ran in that direction. Wherever they were kicking again, pass in that direction. She would be wide open, and I would tell the boys to pass the ball to her. When I forced them to, they passed it to her. She didn't know what she was doing. She got the ball, she stopped, and she just kicked it right back to the other team. She was absolutely ineffective. Now, the Japanese girl, oh, she was rough and tumble. But she just followed around my stepson during the entire game. That's all she did. She followed him around. All she wanted to do was be next to him. Every time he was running somewhere, she'd watch his long hair, sweat-filled, flowing through the air. He looked like one of those Europeans with the long hair. She just followed him around because she was so enamored with him, just like a girl. And I would get on her case all the time. Haruki! Haruki! Come on, come on, come on! Get in there, get in there, get in there! That was her name, straight to God. Haruki. She wouldn't listen. She just followed my stepson all around. Now the boys? Oh, you could tell the boys anything. What you're going to do is play you got to make. This is what you're going to do. Make sure you get open. Get it to the middle. Make sure somebody's in the middle. And whatever you do, you see somebody coming up the sidelines, you make sure that somebody gets in the middle. Center it, center it, center the ball. Center it, center it, center it. The boys always did what is there. And when they used to screw up, I used to pull my back out. Ah! Screaming at them. What are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Do you understand that you're not about to do it? I couldn't do that with the girls. The girls would kick the ball right to another person, kick it right back to the opponent. I never said a word. I kept my mouth closed. I would just mumble to myself, okay, or whatever. And then I go to the defense, get it back, get it back, get it back, get it back. So I could say that to the boys. The girls would screw up. They would look at me wondering whether or not I was going to scream at them. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's okay, sweetheart. It's okay. Like, no, 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 it's all right. No, no, no. We wanted them to get the ball back. That's okay. No, no, no. Try not to kick it to the middle again. Thanks. All right, no problem. You're doing a great job, Steve. That's the crap I had to deal with. Now, when I have all boys, I can tell them anything I want. Get your ass down there and follow Ethan down the line. Get in the foot, center it. Kick that ball high up in the air. What are you, afraid of the ball when it comes down? It can't hurt you. I can do anything I want with the boys and tell them what to do. The girls, you got to be sensitive. You have to be. Because the girls are weaker.
I agree. You know what I would have done? You know what I would have done?
Yeah.
I would have attached a note to their shirt with $4 and the address to send my Girl Scout cookies.
Mary?
Oh, yeah. Thin Mint and
that's Simoleon. Okay, JC, pipe it down. The two of you are just being ridiculous. Once again, you're being sexist. You're being ridiculous. You just had the wrong girls on your team. Wait a minute. Let me finish my train of thought, please. I let you go on and on and on about your three horrible girls you had on your team. You should have picked different girls. They were different.
No, no, no. That's what he was handed.
I don't get to pick them. They're handed to me. They're handpicked for me.
Those were the wrong girls. They shouldn't have been out there playing them. If they didn't want to be out there playing, they shouldn't have been out there playing. But there are girls that are very competitive.
No, no, no. No, Mary, that's where you're wrong, because they did want to be. They did want to play, or they wouldn't be there.
That's right.
Sometimes their parents make them go and do stuff.
Well, that wasn't the case with these girls.
No.
Haruki loved playing.
Well, you should have told them that was the wrong sport for them, even though they wanted to play and their heart may have been in it and nothing else was. My point is...
No, because it was a co-ed league. Because it was a co-ed league, you had to let them play, and you had to treat
them different.
Okay, my point is these girls were obviously not fit for the game, but there are other girls,
and
other
we're sexist
females that are fit for the game.
And we're sexist.
Mary, listen. Mary, I'll give you another example. The Japanese boy that we had, Matsuzuki was his name. Japanese kid, hadn't been in the country for a year, okay? He didn't speak a word of English, and he did everything I told him to do through sign language. Like, we had this drill one day, right? I threw the ball up in the air. I said to the kids, I want you to learn how to stop a ball that comes, like when the kids kick it way up in the air and the ball comes down, the kids had a habit of watching the ball go up in the air to land, and they were afraid to go to the ball when it landed. They wanted to wait until it hits the ground before they would attack the ball. So they had a little bit of fear about the ball. So I did a training exercise where I threw the ball up in the air, and I told all the kids, we need to get you over your fear about the ball landing in front of you or landing near you. Stop looking at the ball. Stop watching the highlight reel. Go after the ball. So I took the ball and I threw it up in the air. What did Matsuzuki do? He immediately put his foot, when the ball landed, put his foot down and stopped the ball and to me. I didn't have to speak a word of English to him. He got it. He understood it. Try that with the rest of the girls, the rest of the team. It was hard to do, especially with the girls, because they were afraid of it. And girls don't want to get hurt. We had another training exercise where the ball would sit about 10 yards in the, between me and the kids. The kids would be on a single file on the other side of the field, 10 yards away from the ball. I would be 10 yards away from the ball on the other side. And I would run up to the ball. And I would say, I'm going to run up to the ball, you run up to the ball, and I'm about to kick it. I want you to be able to attack the ball and keep it from me getting it. Okay? Come right at me. I don't want you to be afraid of me because I'm big. I want you to be able to deal with a collision if you're going to be collided with. He's running for the ball. You're running for the ball. Opposite each other. You're two trains on the track about to collide. Get that ball before I do. And if I get the ball before you, I don't want you to be afraid and wince. Every one of the boys came right at me. They came right at me even if they had to put their heads first, put their bodies first. I'm 6'5". These kids were no taller than 4'4". And they ran right at me. The girls, every time I ran up to them, they stopped and they screamed. I couldn't do it.
You had the wrong girls on your team. I'm telling you, that is what the problem is. Look at all these great female athletes. They're
Name
not competitive.
Five.
They're not. They
Name
can't.
Five.
They can't beat other men.
He
Name
had the wrong
five.
Girls because they should have been boys.
Name five. Name five of these competitive women who play in an organized sport that's a tough sport. Name five. And you can't include tennis.
Come on.
tennis is not a contact sport. Name five females involved in a contact sport that you consider tough. Yeah. That's the reason why girls don't play the game. That's right. That's why girls don't play the game.
I mean, volleyball is a contact sport.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. You contact the ball. You don't contact your opponent.
Well,
if you
no,
want
you're
to name,
not contacting your opponent, but you can.
If you want to name any one of the girls from the U.S. soccer team, I'll give you that. But that's it. It's female soccer. Can a guy join the female soccer league? No. Can a girl join the NCAA?
That's because they segregated it. That's why. And
oh,
for
okay,
you,
so.
You know what, with that being said, for you to always be talking about race and people are always trying to have these groups and segregate one another, and you want to be a part of this group, you want to be a part of that group, why do you always segregate men and women?
Because sex is completely different.
We're different.
Why
for
is
reasons.
That completely different?
Because we are.
Because
of women, we'd all be homosexuals.
Women are not different to men.
What did you say?
Women are not equal to men.
That's bull crap. Women are not equal to men. We are equal to men, and some of us are better and can do better and survive better and are more independent than men are.
Mary.
By no means.
Mary.
That's, you know what, Reese, now stop. Because
Mary?
I personally come in contact with several men that can't do half of the stuff that I can do.
Mary?
They're punks. They're wusses.
They're what?
Mary?
No, I'm saying they're punks, they're wimps, they're wusses.
I agree. Now, Mary?
JC?
The only thing you women can do that we can't do is have babies.
Have a baby.
And then you can't do that without
and
us.
And we can't even do it. I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
And, hey, listen to me. Listen to me, Mary. Listen, as a man, let me admit, you gals do a kick-ass job on that having baby face. Thanks. Thanks for that. We appreciate it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be here if a woman wasn't that good.
I wouldn't be here without you. Thanks for that. We appreciate it.
Don't thank me. Thank your mother. Thank you.
I should thank my mother, but I'm thanking you as a gender.
Well,
you know,
I don't have kids, and I'm not having kids, so don't thank me as a gender because I'm just as equal as the two of you are.
I mean, that doesn't
mean
we don't love you any less.
I'm not saying that but see, that is where you're wrong. Because it's not even so much that you love someone less, it's that you look at women like they're less than.
That's not true. That's not what we said.
That we are subpar.
In no way did we say that. I did not say that. That's not what I said.
You don't have
that's
to
not
say
what
it.
I,
you don't have
no, no,
to
no.
say it.
No.
Now
you,
you're assuming you for us.
Exactly. What you're doing is projecting. You're projecting your own inadequacies as a woman and suggesting that I'm saying something that isn't true.
Oh, my God. Someone please help me with these two. Holy crap.
Listen to me.
I'm projecting my own inadequacies.
You don't think they're adequate?
Do I think that I'm inadequate or do I think that I have inadequacies? No, I'm not inadequate. I'm not inadequate to anybody or anyone or any gender or anything. I can do whatever I put my mind to as a woman.
This is what I'm trying to tell you. The bottom line is we should
come up with a little challenge. We should have a challenge.
Mary?
Yes. Because
I made granola today.
We know that I reign supreme when it comes to betting or anything like that. So let's see how I reign when it comes to challenges. Let's have ourselves
betting.
A little physical challenge.
Betting?
Whoa.
Betting?
Are you talking? Wait, no. Let's hear her out. You said you wanted to bet on a challenge?
On a physical challenge.
I'm all ears. I'm all ears.
Yeah, and I'm his coach.
No, JC, you are not no coach. You are a participant because you seem to have the same exact feelings.
Mary, let's keep this between you and me. What's the challenge?
No, furthermore, I have totally different ideas than him. Like I asked you earlier and you weren't listening. I said, I made granola today. Do you have a granola recipe?
No, I don't have a granola recipe because I'm too busy working.
You should, by the way.
You should.
You should have a granola recipe. Well,
I don't
should.
Need a granola recipe. I can go to the store and buy granola.
That's awesome.
So what's your challenge? Come on, seriously,
what's your challenge?
Challenge?
Go ahead.
What do you think? you think, Reese, would be a fair challenge that you think that you could, that you think that there would be some a level of competitiveness?
Really? Seriously?
Yeah. Seriously. I'm all ears.
Well,
now, don't say anything like basketball, because we know you're 6'5" and I'm only 5'4", so let's not get crazy.
I can't play basketball to save my life.
Oh, I should have said
hey,
basketball, because I can play basketball.
Hey, Mary?
I can.
Hey, Mary?
You don't need to know. What? What, JC? What?
Well, on, to be on your side for a hot second, don't choose arm wrestling, because I think he lost a bow wow at one point.
Oh, my God.
I didn't lose the bow.
I'm no good at arm wrestling. That's not my thing.
Are you sure?
Look, you're never... Listen to me. Bottom line is this. I'm not saying that women can't be competitive in sport. What I'm saying is that they should do it amongst themselves. That's what I'm saying.
In areas where they excel.
Yeah,
in areas where they excel, like what? Volleyball, tennis, swimming.
Knitting. Knitting is good. You guys are great at that. Paper crochet.
Reese, I got a niece that will run you over right now. I got a niece that would run you over right now.
Knitting.
No, because I'm sure you guys have heard of her.
Needlepoint.
No. I'm saying, because I'm listening to Reese, and I'm sitting here, and I'm co-signing with him. And I'm sitting here with a niece who happens to have been the youngest driver in NASCAR history, and she's a female.
Oh, you know what? I'm glad that you just said that. That can be our challenge. Do you want to have a challenge on that? Because I bet you that I'm a better driver than you are.
You probably are a better driver than I am. You probably are. But I don't understand how that has anything to do with masculine stamina.
Okay, so you pick.
Oh, no, I'll pick. I'm just telling you that I know for a fact that women cannot, women and men, when it comes to sports, should not coexist. They can't. They just can't. Because boys, the drive, they understand the drive. Women are just too dainty for it. They don't understand winning and losing. And they don't handle the loss very well. Men, that's the measure of a man. It's not whether or not he can win. It's how he handles loss.
Right.
That's the measure of anybody.
No, it isn't.
No.
Yes,
women don't handle loss as well. It's the reason why you're so catty to each other. You look at each other's shoes and dresses and hairstyles. It isn't even a competition. It's just hate.
Okay, well, then
men
I
don't
must
sit
in a world. I must be in a world all by myself. Because
men don't sit in restaurants and be like, look at his shoes. Look at his shoes. Oh, look at his shoes. I can't believe he walked out the house with his shoes on.
I don't do that either. I don't do that either, because quite frankly,
no, women in general do.
Talk about.
Women in general do.
We're talking about women. It's just women.
No, it's not all women.
I didn't say all women. Just the majority. Anyway, when we come back, folks, it is Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City. Is that Miranda, by the way, Mary? I asked you because you're a bro.
Yes, it's Miranda.
Yes. Cynthia Nixon backpedaling off her statements about being a bisexual because the gay mafia has taken it right to her face. They shut her down. Now she can't even be an individual. It sucks. We'll come back. It's Reese on the Radio.
By scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend, a state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Reese on the Radio, and we're back live on Blog Talk Radio. The number's 347-308-8701. And this story came out of the Advocate and was reported by the New York Times about Cynthia Nixon, who played Miranda in the Sex and the City series.
and she's been getting some backlash about her comments about choosing to be gay, which, for that matter, choosing to be bisexual. Let me read the statement here. She says, "My recent comments in the New York Times were about me and my personal story of being gay. Nixon tells The Advocate in a statement, I believe we all have different ways that we came to the gay community, and we can't and shouldn't be pigeonholed into one cultural narrative, which can be uninclusive and disempowering. However, to the extent that anyone wishes to interpret my words in a strictly legal context, I would like to clarify. While I don't often use the word, the technically precise term for my orientation is bisexual. I believe bisexuality is not a choice. It is a fact. What I have chosen is to be in a gay relationship. I said in the New York Times, and we'll say it again here, I do, however, believe that most members of our community, as well as the majority of heterosexuals, cannot and do not choose the gender of the persons with whom to seek to have intimate relationships, because they are only attracted to one sex. Our community is not a monolith, thank goodness, any more than America itself. I look forward to and will continue to work toward the day when America recognizes all of us as full and equal citizens." Now, a question that arises to me is, why did she backpedal? Why would she backpedal on her statements? Why would she think she had to appease a particular community? Is it because she's a celebrity? Is it because the gay community told her she has some sort of responsibility to people because she's in a gay relationship? Is this not private? Is this not personal? Yes, she's a celebrity. Yes, she did an interview. Yes, she talked about her own personal experiences. But what business is that of anyone's, especially the gay community as a whole? And I'll tell you why it's their business, and why they think she should be responsible. Because they think that you're no longer an individual once you are caught up in a group. Oh, you're gay? You're already in. You're in the group. Oh, you have sex with the same sex? All right. You're part of the group. That's it. That's the bottom line. You got no say-so here. You chose to be gay. You're in a sexual relationship with a person of the same gender. You're automatically in. Oh, don't try to fight it. We've got you. And you're a celebrity. We own you. We own your thoughts. We own your views. We own your life. And why did she backpedal? Because she was going to get some backlash if she was going out there, maybe doing a TV movie on. Maybe she does another TV show. Because they will terrorize her. They will threaten her lifestyle. They'll threaten her well-being. Not in a physical sense, but they'll threaten her way of life. How she gets her money. They'll boycott her. And now, because she's in the public eye, everything that she does will be held to a standard of the gay community. Now she'll probably get crap for going into a movie playing a straight role, going into a TV show playing a straight role. Now she's got to personify homosexuality everywhere she goes. Everything you do must be gay. Everything you say must be a part of the gay agenda. You have no more thoughts. You follow us. You do what we say, You feel how we feel. You think what we think. Your identity is now held hostage. So that's why she did it. Because the gay community is never, ever going to be viewed as social terrorists. Oh, did you just say that? Yes, I said that. That's what they are. They are terrorizing this woman and telling her, don't you dare step off the narrative. Don't you dare tell people that they have a choice. Don't you dare even start putting that in the minds of the collective country or the collective world. Don't you dare put that idea in their heads. We've got an agenda there, Missy. You got to do what we say and think what we think and feel how we feel. You're no longer an individual. Now, what other group does that? Huh? What other country does that? Any other places in the world that tells you have to think what we think, feel how we feel? You can tell me? Anybody? Think long and hard. Individual, personal feeling, personal feeling. There are only other, the only other places in the world where I've seen that are socialist and communist countries, folks. Don't you step off the reservation. Now, if you're a heterosexual, you can like anybody you want. Like them tall, short, fat, thin, black, white, yellow, tan. You like anybody you want in the heterosexual community. They've got no cause. They've got no mission. We have a mission. And you will stick to it, or we will destroy you. How is that American? How do you silence someone? How do you prevent them from taking care of their family? She's got kids. She's got a family to provide for. So what? She's in a gay relationship. If it's not supposed to matter, if it's about equality, why do this to her? And that's because they are a mafia. That's the reason why. And that's why she backpedaled. Now, dare I call Cynthia Nixon a punk? Yes. You punked out. You wimped out. What, you can't stand up for yourself? Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to standing up for what you believe in? Forget what anybody else believes in. What about standing up for what you believe in? If they don't like it, go screw. How would you let anybody hold you hostage? How is that freedom? I find it stunning, alarming that anybody would let anyone do this to them. But this is the behavior we've become accustomed to. We've sold ourselves short to adhere to a collective. You find it in every walk of life. And we're not allowed to think outside the box, even when it comes to ourselves. Oh, we scream choice, 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 choice. But that's just a word to these groups. So you can tell a woman, see, these gay groups, they'll be the first to tell you that a woman has a right to choose whether or not she can abort her child. But Cynthia Nixon can't even choose to be gay. How is that possible? How is that happening in our world today? Now the world is objective? Now we can dictate when someone can choose? Why couldn't she choose to be gay? Why didn't she wake up one day, saw this masculine woman, found her attractive, tickled her funny bone, and wanted to go home and have a relationship with her? Why couldn't she just wake up and choose that? Why couldn't she? And then a reporter says, you were married for 12 years. You had two kids with a man. What happened? You're in this gay relationship. Were you gay before? Just one day, I just fell in love with this woman. It was a choice. It was a decision that I made. And now she's being told to shut up about it. You ask any one of these groups, they will sit up here and talk about how to defend the freedom of speech. They will say that all day, every day, until you step off their reservation, because your speech is limited to what they want you to say. And that's communism. That's because all leftists, all of these left groups are communist and socialist groups. You think with the collective, or we'll destroy you. We need to bolster a narrative, and we'll keep it that way. And if you step out of line, we'll come after you. And that mafia is so strong that now Cynthia Nixon is backpedaling like a punk, like a chump. You've been harangued into doing what they told you to do. And now you're nothing more than a slave. Miranda, you're a slave to that group, as are many of you, slaves. You don't wish to think for yourselves. You won't think for yourselves. That's why I hate you, because I can't stand that weakness. I can't stand it. I have no respect for you. Not that you need my respect, but I can never have respect for you. So now, Cynthia Nixon, you don't even matter. In the grand scheme, you don't even exist. You're never going to be anything relevant. Because now you're just a crowd. That's it. Let's bring in our crew again. Anybody disagree or think I'm too harsh here?
I think a little harsh.
Yeah.
But call it tough love. On the same token, respect the gangster of the gay mafia.
Okay, I'll give you that. I guess I have to.
You have no choice.
I guess they have to.
Now listen, they shut down reggae music. Remember that?
Yes, they did. I do remember that well.
They shut down Bean a Man, Boudre Bantan.
Freedom of speech.
Down, yeah,
They shut down freedom of speech.
Anyone who came, any album that came out of that little island that had anything to do with destroying homos, burn Bossy Boys, boom bye bye in a Bossy Boy's head, any of that reggae music that we dropped it like it's hot to, they came off that island, had everything that pertained to bashing homosexuals removed or not even recorded.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because I remember back in my Hot 97 days, we had the reggae group T.O.K.
Okay.
On the program, and they had that they had that song, I'm in a bar drinking a chichiman bar.
Yeah, right. I'm in a drinking a chichiman bar. Chichiman, yeah, right.
Came on the show to talk about their song, well, talk about their album and talk about their tours or whatever it was. And Star was out because he was running late getting into the city, but he called in on the air while they were on And, you know, he asked the most important question. You know, is that song about gay people? And they were so scared to tell the truth. They were saying that Chichi Mahan meant somebody who isn't correct or somebody who isn't righteous or somebody who isn't doing the right thing. But they knew what they were singing. They didn't even have enough guts to say, look, in my culture, this isn't permissible. Where I come from, this is an abomination. Why not?
They'll chop you down in a sugar cane. Literally butcher you.
And that's the thing. That's the same thing they'll do to you in the Muslim culture, in the Muslim religion.
That's correct. That is correct. Hey, look,
they'll do that to you in a lot of different parts of the country. It's not accepted.
You know, I saw this interview, not an interview, I apologize. I saw this editorial online. It was a guy who runs a TV show in Canada and on Sky Network or Sky TV. And he was talking about Greenpeace and how Greenpeace, you know, what their whole objective is just to collect money. So he called up the Greenpeace president in China. Greenpeace's stance is against pollution and nuclear power. They're against it. Greenpeace office in China. China is probably one of the biggest polluters in the world, and they've got nuclear power all over the place. But yet he says when he checked out the Chinese Greenpeace website, not one time did it mention how China was abusing the country using, you know, with pollution and nuclear power. Not once. So there's been a comment, sir, why you allowed, or why doesn't the Greenpeace website in China talk about how China is violating Greenpeace's rules? And she emphatically said, we can't mention it because we'll be shut down, arrested, and or killed. And again, look, not that I'm a fan of Greenpeace, but you get my point, is that Greenpeace is all over the country, all over the world, telling people not to pollute, to give a hoot, you know, no nuclear power, protesting, having people sign petitions, but here in a place that violates every one of the rules that they're against, or all the things that they're against, they don't once go after those people, because if you go against the collective, your life is over. And if the gay movement isn't doing the exact same thing to Cynthia Nixon, I don't know what is. I don't know what other better example I can give.
Well, I think that, like, in with these groups, when you segregate yourself, you're no longer, she's no longer, you know, Cynthia Nixon. She's gay or bisexual Cynthia Nixon. You know, you become just a label. You don't, you lose all individuality. And that's what's so unfair, because it was like when she came out and said, you know, okay, I've been married for 12 years, I'm getting a divorce, I'm going to be with this chick, and, you know, I fell in love with this chick, so, you know, I'm in a gay relationship. So that just labeled her, I'm gay. That's who I am. That's not what I am, it's who I am. And that's how these different groups want everybody to think, that now this is who you have become. This is who you are. Who you were before doesn't matter. This is who you are. And you have to stand up. You have to be a part of this group, just like you were saying earlier. You know, we own you now. And that's
it. Yeah, that's the truth. That's the thing, the ownership part. We own you now.
You must be a part. You must be a part of our organization, and you must stand up and be a voice in this organization 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now you market for us.
Yeah.
That's it.
I believe that. I think 100% the best way to categorize what Cynthia Nixon is right now is a slave.
Yeah, it's like when she said that she was in a gay relationship, she signed a non-compete agreement for the rest of her life.
Yeah, exactly. It, you know, you don't step off the narrative. You are now controlled by the agenda. And, you know, it's a joke, but, you know, that's where she is now.
And I don't think that
she should have been.
I don't think that all gay people feel that way. I don't think that all, you know, everybody in the gay, lesbian, transgender community feels that way. But these, but the groups that, you know, that are the majority, the, you know, the groups that are constantly out there in people's communities and in people's faces, they do feel that way. And it's very, very sad because, like you said, if you want equality, then you cannot segregate yourself. I don't care what group you're from.
Well, she put herself out there.
Yeah, it's she did.
She put herself out there.
She did. You're absolutely right.
She should have just went on ahead and do what she do behind her closed doors and left it at that.
Yeah, but
who cares?
She, there was no way that she was ever going to be able to just leave it at that. I mean, she was.
Why
you
not?
Know, in movies, she was in Sex and the City. Sex and the City was
Kristen McNichol did
the series, the movie. I mean,
Rock
people would have found
did it.
Out. It's not like she could have hid that, JC.
Kristen McNichol, Rock Hudson.
Yeah, but you know what, Rock.
But that was
well,
in a different
Kristen
time.
Kristen McNichol waited until Switch. Yeah, Kristen McNichol waited until she was 50 years old, and she hadn't done anything in decades. And, you know, she brought up this whole crap about how she can help bully kids.
And even now that she's come out of the closet, you don't see the media following her around. You don't see paparazzi following her around.
Yeah,
no,
remember, what's that guy name? What was that guy Reese from Carol O'Connor's last In the Heat of the Night?
Rollins was his last name. Rollins.
Oh yeah, he held off quite a while too.
Yeah, until he had a little alcohol breakdown and was caught in the women's clothing or some weirdness or there was something weird going on with him. He had that little mental breakdown that actually took him out. But, you know, again, I'm just saying as far as Cynthia Nixon is concerned, now that she has backpedaled, I think that regular people are going to look at her and just go, you know, look, you got taken. You know, your words mean nothing. You can't stand by your own, you know, were completely captivated or taken over by this agenda. It's a wrap to you. I don't know how anybody's got any respect for her anymore. I'm sure her friends love her and they respect her. But you know what? Nobody should be made to live a life on fear. And this was a fear tactic. And it's terroristic. That's the part that I don't like. What the gay community did to her was terroristic at best. They told her to fall in line.
No. Because to a degree, what she had done, Reese, was irresponsible.
What do you think was irresponsible? I'm not following that.
For her to be someone, especially of her stature, her public stature, and her publicity, and of her fame, to come out and say that she chose to be that way, when so many feel as though especially young people feel as though that they weren't, and being young, and their parents saying no, you chose to be this way, and they know deep down in their hearts that. They didn't choose to feel that way because they can't help how they feel. It's irresponsible to come out and say, no, this is a choice and this is not necessarily how one naturally feels.
You know what, though? With that being said, JC, this is how, see, this would have been her coming out and saying, I choose to be gay or I chose to be in this same-sex relationship. That should have given people... From where the gay community was, you know, back when to where it is today, to the point where, you know, it's legal to get married, you can put each other on your insurance, you can do all these things. So that should have actually been
embraced.
To say, okay, that should have actually been like, okay, you know what? some of us have chosen to be gay, and it's okay to choose to be gay because we're allowed to make that choice. We as a me as an individual or whomever is allowed to make that choice, and it's okay to make that choice. You don't have to hide behind the fact that, oh, well, I can't let anybody know that I chose to be gay because this is my choice. I have to tell people that I was born that way in order to be accepted. I have to ram that down people's throats in order for them to accept me, because then they will look at it as if it is somewhat of an illness and they had no there were no other options. They were just born this way. I believe that there are people that choose to be that way, and I believe that there are people that are born to be that way. And this should have been a platform for those people that have chosen to be gay and live a gay lifestyle. That should have, what she came out and said, it should have been a platform for those people.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mayor. I couldn't agree more. Anyway, we'll do the top of the hour. When we come back, we'll do the top of the hour. We'll break down the Florida primaries. The numbers appear to be in. Do I need to even say Romney won? Never mind.
Oh,
we'll be back.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we'll be back.
Television, a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the
Mary had a little man that was his soul. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And we're back at Reese on the Radio here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. I meant to say thank you to somebody. They were just saying hello to us. That's Reese on the Radio at Facebook. Just said congratulations to us. They liked the show. They said that what's great about it is that, you know, they like me giving my monologue and then us as a group having a discussion about it, giving different views, and they said they like that. So I think his name is Michael, and I moved off the page, but I just want to say thank you for the feedback. We appreciate it. And check us out every chance you get. If you're not doing anything and you'd like to come in and, you know, chat or just even just listen to the show, we appreciate it. So the delegates have been counted in the Florida primary. Anybody interested in hearing the numbers, because they're not good. The reason why I say they're not good is because, look, I'm just not a Romney fan. And the delegates in Florida were going to be a huge, huge push for whomever won. And at the time, Newt Gingrich had 26 delegates. Rick Santorum, who has been struggling as of late, only has 14 if he remembers, 14 delegates. Mitt Romney today picked up 50 by winning the Florida primary. And, you know, all in all, it hasn't been a great just for me personally, it just hasn't been great. Everyone who I've rooted for, I almost feel like I might be a jinx. Because everyone I seem to root for, they just end up like, I mean, they crash in. And I'll never figure out why indeed Mitt Romney won. I guess because it's commonplace now, yes, that Mitt Romney is the only one who's a little. But the numbers were close. They were double digits. According to the recent report, it was Mitt Romney with 47% and Newt Gingrich with 32%, which is a 15-point lead, which is right on par with what the polls were saying yesterday and the day before. Drudge Report is reporting it as a landslide. And Newt Gingrich is vowing to fight on. I mean, it's not over till it's over. It's some 1,100 votes or so, 1,100 delegates in order to win this. And, you know, the fight's got to be won. And you got to stick in it. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know whether or not Newt Gingrich is going to really impress these folks in these other states. The big problem is going to be money. Who's going to put money behind him? Although he didn't have an enormous loss to Mitt Romney with, you know, 47-35, that's not a huge amount. But the 50 delegates are the 50 delegates. And we've got a little while. Well, not much of a while, but we've got another one coming up. If my computer would join me in figuring out what the next one is, and it's not. Come on, move over, silly. There we go. We're going to, this is going to be the stretch. And whether or not, I don't know, whether or not there's going to be any changes in this race, I don't know. I hope that there are. It'd be nice if there were. But we need some changes. So 50 delegates are coming up on February 4th in Nevada. 28 delegates are up for grabs in Nevada. Who will win? I don't know. It still remains to be seen who's actually going to win those votes. But Nevada, a different place. They're not very, very pleased with Obama. But Nevada, you know, it's right close to Utah. And that's in Mitt Romney's wheelhouse. Because it's so close by, it's a strong possibility that Mitt Romney will win those 28 delegates. If indeed he does, I can't say that it's a wrap. But Newt Gingrich has got to gain some ground. I said this before, I said it at the beginning of the show. Newt Gingrich, to me personally, is the one that will trounce President Obama in a debate. I don't know whether or not Mitt Romney's proven, whether or not he's too docile, too soft, whether or not he's got the wherewithal to hammer this guy on the issues. But it looks like the American people are looking to get this over. It has been a bloodbath. There's been some really abusive tactics on the Republicans to each other. Mitt Romney and Gingrich. I don't know. Will it be the detriment of the election? I don't know yet. I have no idea whether or not it will. I'm pretty sure that the Democrats are sitting around picking up on all the vitriol that these two have been hammering at each other. And we use it against them for Obama's reelection. It's I just hope that people use his record. And I just need this guy to lose. That's all I'm saying. So anybody surprised?
You sound so defeated.
I do. I feel defeated.
Oh, he knows. No. He knows that. He knows that it's only a matter of time. He knows that Romney can't beat Barack. It's not going to happen.
The national polls are too close. It's 47-46. I mean, probably 47-45 in the national polls. against Barack Obama. They got Mitt Romney beating them by 2 points. That's not enough. It's not enough. There are people out there who want 4 more years of this guy. It's not enough. They'll reelect him. And if you think it's bad now, it's going to get worse.
And have you been reading the reports as to why Newt lost in Florida?
What are they saying? I'm left out.
On one report, I heard they couldn't get past the marriage situation.
Really? Florida?
Really. We're talking Florida. We're talking about Hagen Chad.
Yeah, Florida.
Florida.
Capital of child molestation and child abductions.
And
really?
Then on child abduction, these people let Casey Anthony off.
Yeah, exactly.
Florida.
Yeah, remember, same state that OJ was living in.
Senior citizens and those that, you know, have buy chicken wings.
Chicken wings? Really? Who are we talking about there?
Huh?
Well, I'll admit.
We're talking about people and how they travel. Without getting into it.
I believe, you know what it is? I believe that Florida is a moderate state. It flips back and forth on who it is they vote for in a national election.
And that's how Mitt Romney won.
I believe that. I believe that Newt Gingrich, in some particular cases, especially down there in Florida, even though he's a Georgia native, I believe that, he was a congressman in Georgia. I believe that down there in Florida, they vote no matter. I mean, think about it. Jeb Bush, a Republican, was the governor of Florida. Yet, look how close that vote was in the 2000 election against George W. Bush and Al Gore. I mean, it was hair thin close in Florida.
Florida just can't get it right.
Yeah, Florida just I don't trust that state. I never have.
They're
full of senior citizens, dude.
They're back and forth all the time.
It's
but
when they flip flop. That's why Romney won their flip flop. He's a flip flop.
They are
flip flop,
and I hope to God that something happens, either if Romney's going to take it all the way, I hope to God that a fire is lit underneath him and he gets out there and does whatever he needs to do against Barack Obama, because we cannot go another 4 years.
Listen, I'm not saying this as a Barack Obama supporter. But you wait until you think you heard I Have a Dream type speeches in the 2008 election? he's only just begun as far as those type speeches to rally voters up and out.
Well, Mitt Romney right now, let me tell you what the biggest hurdle is for Mitt Romney and the Republican vote, if indeed. And we're just, we're speculating here, but if Mitt Romney becomes the nominee for the Republican Party, if you look at the contrast between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, there are several things that are going to be used as the talking point for reelecting Barack Obama and not electing Mitt Romney. One key issue is going to be Mitt Romney being rich. That's one, his wealth. His wealth will play a major part. What they'll suggest is Mitt Romney comes from money. He's about money. He only cares about businesses. He only cares about corporate people.
And the rich are going to take care of the rich, which is what we already believe.
Barack Obama is going to run on a single parent household. He's more like regular Americans. He made his money from writing books. He started as a community organizer. He's the scruffy little guy who made it to the presidency, with little known popularity and became one of the most popular candidates. How he's a firebrand. Mitt Romney is going to be a part of the old regime. Look at that article that we talked about in the New York Post about how white he is. And that whole thing, using that against liberals and some independents about how we need to continue down this road of progressiveness and need to get away from traditionalism. And that's what it is. They're going to say, look, as progressives, things have changed, ways have changed. There are now more single-parent households. Even the Secretary of Agriculture talking about how welfare is a job creator, for crying out loud, saying that food stamps creates jobs. There's a new narrative that's happening in our world today, and anything that is old or remotely looks like the ways of you or the age of yore is going to be completely rejected by the American people, especially the elitists in places like Los Angeles and San Francisco and Oakland and Denver, Salt Lake City, Utah, in Houston, Texas, in Detroit, Michigan, in Chicago, Illinois. Those are the things that those people who are cosmopolitan, who believe that the world needs to change and it needs to be a different regime and get away from the old, those people are going to vote for Barack Obama. And until people like Mitt Romney and conservatives start making headway with those social elites, then Barack Obama will have another 4 years as president of the United States. It's the bottom line. And that's just what I believe. That's why I don't think that Mitt Romney has a chance to win. Because he's not going to pull the cloak back. He's not going to show the wizard behind the curtain. He's just not going to do it.
Well, if he wants it bad enough, he better.
Not going to happen.
Now, I think that where... Now, this is something I was talking to JC about on break. I think that where Mitt Romney may come out ahead in this is if he is, if he takes the Republican...
nomination.
You know what I'm saying? Now, if he takes the Republican nomination, I think that he may come out ahead with a woman's vote, and I think that I think it's sad that for those for the reasons that I believe it is, but I think that there's probably a lot of women out there that look at him as this tall, handsome man, and it's almost like the whole with Kennedy when he women were in awe with him. And I think that women are going to be in awe with Romney as well, as they are already. And I think that he may, he may take that majority vote, if that helps him.
What I find interesting, JC, that you said earlier, was that people in Florida couldn't get past the infidelity of Newt Gingrich, which I believe makes my point even stronger when Marianne Gingrich's ex-wife came out with that whole open marriage thing. It didn't resonate in South Carolina because I think that those people were just angry at the time it came out, but I think it really sat with people in Florida, therefore saying that maybe that does matter to a lot of people. I don't believe it should.
I've been hearing, Reese, like, news reporters that have said that, the battle between Newt Gingrich and Romney is hurting the Republican Party because they're taking such stiff shots at one another. They said that even more so than Hillary and Barack did.
Well, Hillary did some very, very damaging things, some damning things to Barack Obama. It wasn't the scale. Joe Biden did as well. On the level that we're seeing in this primary, I think that it has been a bloodbath in the Republican Party. And I think that is solely because we have not had a true 100% conservative running in this campaign. People will argue that Newt's a little more conservative than Romney, but I think conservatism in this country is really, really taking a hit. It's taking a hit. And I think it took a really, really big hit in this primary, and I think it'll continue to do that. I don't think that Newt and Romney really, really like each other, and it's showing. And if there's no consensus with the Republican Party, I think that can really, really hurt. I don't care what anybody says. Some of the people I respect don't believe it, but I don't know. I think that the American public they're really, really seeing guys going after each other in their own party. And it's
divide and conquer. United we stand, divided we fall.
This is true. You know, if Romney does become the candidate, the Republican candidate, I'd like to see who rallies behind Mitt Romney and whether or not there'll be a unification of the party and whether or not the damage will be so much that even if they do unite, it won't even matter because people will remember all the vitriol.
Right.
That's why I think it happened. I think that there's so much damage that's being done that if these groups, you know, Rick Santorum, Ron, Luke Gingrich, if all rally behind Mitt Romney, that all the rest of that vitriol will just play such a huge part and be like, wow, you're supporting them? You know, you guys really went after each other. And I think that the press is going to take advantage of that when those people get out there and start supporting whoever the nominee is, if it indeed is Mitt Romney. I think there'll be so much damage done, nobody's going to believe it. I think there'll be some bad blood. I think there already is. I'm a little defeated. It's not over till it's over. But I knew the writing was on the wall. I knew Newt wasn't going to win Florida. But, you know, we'll see. It's just a depressing day for me because I'm just so sick and tired of people that I'm rallying against losing. It's like I can't pick them. I got to deal with it.
Hey, on a lighter note?
Yeah.
On a lighter note, I know that we're getting ready to hit the bottom of the hour. To change the subject, if I could, did you see the Ferris Bueller commercial, the teaser commercial?
When we come back, I want to talk about that.
Really?
I want to talk about that, yes, because that is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I
one that I can finally agree with you on.
I went to Chicago this summer for my birthday, and I have pictures of some of the places that Ferris Bueller went to because the whole idea was to go on a Ferris Bueller tour. And that was the whole reason why I went. Yep. It was forever by one of my favorite directors, John Hughes. And I saw the commercial. I was slightly dissatisfied for several reasons. But the reason why that is probably because John Hughes isn't here, and I wish he was because I believe John Hughes should have directed that commercial. But we'll talk about it. Actually, I'll see if I can get the audio for it because I love that movie. There's so many aspects of that movie that I love, and we'll talk about it when we get back. It's a sad day for me. I'm sorry. I feel awful. I just do. I don't know why. Will I ever recover? I don't know. We'll be back. It's
Recent Radio. By scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare. ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Go back.
All right, we're back at Reese on the Radio, live here on blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. Of course, check us out on ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Send us an email at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. I saw that that Ferris Bueller commercial. I got a heads up on it from a website that gives me alerts all the time. It's a website called Coming Soon, where you can get information about movies, TV shows, and all that other stuff. It's usually like sci-fi stuff, but you know, if there's a trailer that is an exclusive trailer that comes out, you know, I'm really excited to see this new Avengers movie that's coming out this year. It's got, you know, Thor, Captain America, Iron Man. What is Scarlett Johansson's character called? Black Widow?
I think it's the it's a sister website to Superhero. Was it on SuperheroHype.com?
Yes, yes, exactly. It's a sister network to that. Thor is in it, so, and of course, you know, Nick Cage from S.H.I.E.L.D., and Samuel L. Jackson, everybody's in it. I mean, all the big
first names. Avengers.
The first Avengers movie. So it's Robert Downey Jr., Samuel L. Jackson, Scarlett Johansson. Who else am I missing? The Hulk is in it as you know, they got a new character playing the Hulk. Anyway, so I'm really excited about it. So when I heard about this Ferris Bueller thing, there was this teaser that everybody was talking about, the Super Bowl commercial that Ferris Bueller had done, and immediately the internet was abuzz that could there be a Ferris Bueller sequel? And immediately when I heard it, I was angered that anybody would suggest it. And I know that Hollywood right now is there all abuzz. Can we do it? Can we get another sequel together? Can we get Matthew Broderick up there to do another movie? And I am begging America to stop with the nonsense and please do not make this happen.
Why not?
Stop us. Do not bring Ferris Bueller back.
The cast is still alive?
Actually...
Yeah?
Everyone is still alive, I do believe. Everyone's alive. We can't bring Mom and Dad back. Charlie Sheen is still back. He's still... Cameron, played by
Jennifer
Alan
Gray.
Ruff. Who's that?
Jennifer... What's her name? Not Jennifer
Gray.
It was Jennifer Gray?
Yeah, that's her name.
Okay, Jennifer
Gray. She played Jeannie in that movie. What's his name? Oh, God. Why am I forgetting? Ed Rooney.
Ed Rooney. He's got issues, though. Isn't he in jail?
Yeah, he was arrested. He did some jail time. He was caught with child porn.
Okay.
Or it's something along those lines. I know it was something involving children. But he has done some acting work lately. He has been in the movies.
I loved him in Howard the Duck.
Are you kidding me? But anyway, Simone, she's still around. I think the last big movie she did was Time Cop with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
What about the secretary?
Oh, Edie McClure. Love her. But see... Now, I remember all of these characters. One of my favorite films, I watched it 12 times. I probably watched it 100 times because it's part of the John Hughes classic. You know, it takes place in Chicago. You know the story. Kid cuts out of school to, play hooky and has the amazing day, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And now there's a Honda CR-V commercial that now everybody's already got a buzz on. That you're going to see, on Super Bowl Sunday. Everybody's seen it already. They've actually leaked about 2 or 3 commercials that are going to be aired on Super Bowl. We haven't seen the others, of course, but there have been some teasers.
Hold on, Reese.
Yes.
The commercial you saw. How long was it?
Maybe 2-3 minutes long.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. 2 minutes and 42 seconds.
What's that? 2 minutes, 42 seconds?
That's the one that I saw. I didn't know if they broke that down into different commercials.
Yeah, they were only showing teasers, but ComingSoon.net played the whole commercial on their website, so I got to check it out. And look, immediately when I saw it, I'll tell you there's some things that I know that if Hollywood touches Ferris Bueller again, they're going to destroy it.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, the movie is a classic. Leave it alone. You don't make sequels to Citizen Kane. You don't do it. You just don't do it. Let a classic be a classic and leave it alone. We don't need sequels. That's the problem with Hollywood today, is that because they don't have an original idea and these iconic films, they stand alone. And what do we have to do? We have to mess with them. We have to touch them. And we
I could see if they wanted to go ahead and remake it with a whole new cast, then I would have a huge problem with that. I think I'd disrupt the set every day if I could. But bringing back the original cast?
What would you call it? They're all in their 40s and 50s. What do you bring them back for? What do you bring Ed Rooney back for? Does Ed Rooney become Ferris Bueller's boss at a job? No.
How about and vice versa?
No. What does a 40-year-old man, or 50-year-old man in this case, in Ferris Bueller's case, I think he's, find out his age, I think he's close to like 50 now. But what are we bringing him back for? What day off is he taking now? We don't need it.
He's the superintendent. The
superintendent of what? Of schools?
Yes. He's now Ed Rooney's boss.
And?
Who knew
so
who Ed Rooney's boss, who now is watching Ferris's kids in school, and his kid's a menace, and the only way to stop his kid from being a menace is to go and get the original menace, Ferris, to help him. I mean, that would be classic. Your kid always thinks they're taking out
thank
you.
No, because let me tell you why that wouldn't work. No, I don't. Let me tell you why I don't like it. It is a bad idea, because then here's Ferris. What we loved about Ferris Bueller was he was anti-establishment. When we were kids and we watched that movie, what we loved about Ferris was he was bucking the trend. He was going against the establishment. Every teenager loves that, and we iconic. We make those kind of characters iconic, and we put him in an iconic role because it said, "Look at him taking it to the man," and we like that. If you all of a sudden put Ferris Bueller's character as somebody who fell victim to the establishment, and now he is, destroys the credibility of who Ferris is. It takes away what it is that we loved about Ferris. Ferris has to come off, ended up being, he has to, bucking the establishment means that now Ferris is 50, and he is this, you know, you can't turn him out to be a well-adjusted anti-hero, or it's not even anti-hero, the protagonist. He was a protagonist or the anti-hero in this iconic film, and now we're going to make him the antagonist in a film where his kid is now the anti-hero?
The anti-hero, yeah.
No, because it destroys memory of Ferris Bueller. Mary,
no, because, Reef, he has to grow up.
There's a little bit of what we... What, help me out here. Well, I'm saying this is we take Ferris for. Leaving that open ending, what does Ferris become? We all have our own visions of who Ferris turns out to be. You know, he says, I'm going to marry Simone. And Simone is smitten with him. She knows that she's gonna marry him because he is the coolest guy in the world. And he is going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to her. And we like Ferris because he's cool with everyone. Just like Edie McClure's character said, what's her name, Grace. Grace says in the movie, he's cool with everybody. The motorheads, the geeks, the sluts, the dweebs. He's cool with everybody. Now he's against them? It destroys the whole idea of him. It would break my heart that they would take Ferris and destroy that character, that he had been crushed.
It doesn't make any sense that they would even want to. You can't bring that back. Not after. No, you can't.
I want to see it.
I think the fans are wrong. I know the fans are wrong. I love Ferris Bueller. I love that movie. I love that character. I hated it when they turned it into a TV series. That was dumb. They should have never done that. By the way, you know,
I don't even remember that they did that.
Innocent,
because I won't allow myself to know that they've tampered with it that much. I don't even recall that. I mean,
you want them to tamper with it so much now and remake, you know,
As long as they have the original cast, why not?
Yeah, but even if they have the original cast, they can't be the original people.
Why can't they?
Because they're older.
Everybody has to evolve. I mean, you seem the type to like Parker Lewis anyways.
I seem to be the type that what?
Like Parker Lewis can't lose.
Oh, gosh.
show. By the way, Parker Lewis Can't Lose was a much more popular show than Ferris Bueller's TV show. It was.
I don't even know that show. I've never heard of it. I don't even know.
I love Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
It was the TV's equivalent of Ferris.
Never watched it.
It clearly was. I mean, that's what it was. It was Parker Lewis Can't Lose is Ferris Bueller's Day Off on Fox.
Right.
That's when
Fox first started.
Fox first started their evening TV shows, you know, along with Married with Children and
The Simpsons.
I don't even remember what the other shows were that started back then.
90210.
Melrose Place was a little later.
A little later and a little racier.
Rock.
The Rock. Yeah, Rock, that was another show. Wow. Fox actually did have some pretty good shows.
Rock and Living Color.
In Living Color. That was a little later than that, too. But back on Ferris Bueller. You cannot destroy the... Look, I like the fact that they did the commercial. I didn't think it was all that funny. I didn't think it was really all that good. I think that John Hughes... was a brilliant director, a brilliant screenwriter, a brilliant storyteller. He really identified with teen angst. That's what that movie is about. I showed those movies to my kids, and they say the same thing when they watched it. They thought it was a great movie. And, you know, even they were somewhat jealous that they didn't get to see those movies. Like, those movies aren't made for them. You know, nowadays, you know, movies like The Breakfast Club, even that movie, Some Kind of Wonderful, I still love that movie. Even though it was, you know, that wasn't one of his greatest, but people that. But I love John Hughes films.
And obviously, I was that Ferris Bueller. I did things like that. Not because of him. I didn't have the means or the technologies or all the ritzy ditzy gadgetry that he had to get away with what he got away with as far as taking a day off of school, but I did stuff like that, and I did it in a very ghetto, cool way.
I agree.
What's that?
I'm just saying that a movie like that, it needs to be. I'll give you a perfect example. Back in 2005, maybe 2006, Dr. Pepper was doing this promotional thing where movies in the park, and it was to when they first brought out the what was the name of it? I think it was Vanilla Dr. Pepper.
Right.
Was it Vanilla Dr. Pepper? And it was a promotional thing for them. And it had that commercial, phenomena, phenomena. A lot of people remember that. It's a national campaign. And it was Vanilla Dr. Pepper, and they were doing a promotion in New York City on Houston Street and 6th Avenue, and the movie that they showed was Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And I took my kids. It was an open-air thing. All you had to do was just and it was first come, first serve. We got there, and we watched the movie there, and that was the first time that reach the film to a new audience. If you really, really want to bring those characters back, you just throw a new audience out all the time. How many times have we seen Gone with the Wind put back in theaters? For crying out loud, The Phantom Menace is about to go in 3D. That movie came out in 1999. You know, it's, 1999 is 12, 13 years later, and brought back
Reese.
Big again.
Reese?
Yes?
You either got to either move your microphone back, move it to the left or right or something, because we're losing you a lot.
Oh, I'm my apologies. I'm just saying that if that's if you want to bring these characters back, reintroduce them to a new audience, put the movie back out. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, then I can agree with that. I can agree with that. That's something I mean, if my kids were younger, and now that I think about it, I'm mad that I didn't introduce my kids to it, but I will have Dion at some point watch it. But that's what I would take the kids to the drive-in to watch. I wasn't a huge fan of all of John Hughes' films. I think I've yet to get all the way through The Breakfast Club.
You have what?
I've yet to get fully through The Breakfast Club.
You've never gotten all the way through to The Breakfast Club?
I've never gotten through with it from start to finish, nope.
That's one of the greatest movies, like, ever of my, at least of my childhood.
What other films did John Hughes make?
Okay.
What?
Well, first of all, he is the writer of Home Alone. He also wrote the screenplay to the original National Lampoon's Vacation.
Okay, I've done that one.
The movies that he's actually directed, which are John Hughes classics, are The Breakfast Club, of course, Ferris Bueller's Day, Some Kind of Wonderful, 16 Candles, and Pretty in Pink.
Okay, I've gotten through 16 Candles, and I've gotten through Pretty in Pink. Who did, while we're in that era, who did Last American Virgin?
I don't even know that movie. I do remember that movie. I have no idea who directed that.
Really? So I thought that might have been him, too.
The reason why I say those movies are so iconic and why you can't change them or do them over is because a teenager today can watch The Breakfast Club and completely identify with it for one reason. What was that movie about? It was a movie about five kids, polar opposites. You got one who's a jock, one who's a princess, one who's a nerd, one who's a basket case, and one who's a criminal. Don't ask me how I remember that. But all of them are stuck in detention, all from different worlds in the same building. They go to the same school, so they probably see the same teachers, but they're all from different backgrounds and different ideologies. And they come together and they become friends, which is so, it's so clear. And today, in most of these kids' lives, when they go to high school never changes. High school never changes.
Yeah, you're right.
Changes.
Yeah, you mentioned it. I made very good friends with inside suspension and kids that I had to serve detention with.
But they all, again, if you were to look at those kids from The Breakfast Club, Molly Ringwald, who plays the princess, you know, who's the popular girl, you know, hello, Mean Girls. You know, you look at the nerd, you know, there's a nerd in every teen movie today. You know, the basket case, the girl who wears the dark makeup and the black fingernail polish. That's in every movie today. You know, the criminal, the badass, the kid who's, you know, he's got an attitude and he's kind of clever with his wit and doesn't take any crap from anybody. And then the jock. You know, all of this is templates of every teen movie you've seen since. And if you were to take the kids today who are going through high school and let them watch The Breakfast Club, they would be able to identify with every one of those characters because they'd see it every day. Remaking it would only destroy the fabric of a classic film. That's why I say just tell any parent. I've made the kids watch The Breakfast Club. I picked up and bought the DVD for my stepdaughter who was getting ready to go into high school. And the reason why was because of one reason. You're going to see this when you enter high school. This is what high school is like. And she didn't believe me. Oh, there are no cliques in high school. That's just something they used to do when you were a kid. And sure enough, when she got there, that's what she witnessed. But, you know, I don't think remaking it, oh, just forget about remaking it. No sequels. I don't want any sequels. How old is that movie? That movie came out in 1986. Now we're doing a sequel? Ferris Bueller's Day Off came in 1986. I'm willing to bet anything on that.
Oh, Belcher.
That movie, that was one of the last movies to come out. If you've not seen the movie, I mean, well, you've seen the movie. It's, I mean, come on. It stands alone. It doesn't need a sequel. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. I'm just sad that, you know, that people are buzzing about it. And they're probably all in their 40s. I don't think there's one moviegoer today that is rushing to go see a Ferris Bueller's Day Off sequel. That's just me.
You think they'll put it in 3D?
All right, so to recap. No, please, I hope not. Everything's in 3D. For crying out loud. All right, well, anyway, to recap the show, we talked about how girls are inferior to boys. And why they should not play sports with boys, and they should have their own league so they can hit themselves with daisies, catch butterflies. Mary does not agree.
Kick the ball in any direction that they want.
Kick the ball in anything they want.
Enough.
Yeah, we also talked about the bloodletting that took place over at the X Factor, and how a 13-year-old girl took that entire establishment down. Paula Abdul, Nicole Sparshin Slarkin Nigger, whatever her name is been kicked off the show along with Steve Jones. We'll play that audio again because I need a good laugh.
The act who got the lowest number of votes and who America is sending home is
Rachel Crowe.
Rachel Crowe. We'll see you in the semi-final. Off you go. Off you go, Marcus. Okay, this is an emotional time for everybody. Let's take a look at Rachel's highlights of her time on the X Factor. Run it, please.
So a 13-year-old girl has taken down Paula Abdul, Nicole Sparsenegger, whatever her name is, and Steve Jones, completely has changed the entire dynamic of the X Factor by destroying a 13-year-old girl's life. Again, it's probably one of the phoniest moments in TV history. That goes on my top of our poor breakdown. Sad, but true.
Hey, buddy.
It had to happen.
For some reason, your microphone goes into this alien mode. I can't even describe what it sounds like. You there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, it goes into this crazy. It's like it goes into a trance, and it's almost, I don't know.
Does it pause?
It's not that it's pausing. You're still talking, but it just sounds like you're talking into a 3-mile-long pipe, and we're like listening at the other end. And the sound is, we're getting bits and pieces of what you're saying, but it sounds like kind of
it sounds like
weird.
E.T.
Yeah,
it
sounds very, very, very science.
Science
extraterrestrial.
A All right. Well, I'll definitely look into that. I'll review the tape and find out what exactly is going on.
It sounds weird. It's almost euphoric.
All right. Well, yeah, I've got to check into that. But, what I was saying was that, look, we can't have little kids on these competitions where there are millions of people watching and millions of people rejecting them. We can't
just
have
let them have Star Search. Let them have Star Search. They took over that.
What, you think there should be another Star Search?
Yeah. When the kids on Star Search did well.
This is true.
Usher, Shanice.
Well, Shanice didn't do well.
Yes, she did. I thought Shanice won Star Search.
Yeah, she did, but...
what do you mean she didn't do well?
She had one, I Like Your Smile, that's it.
No, she didn't. Remember she sang to me?
Yes, I know. She was on our show, but, she didn't have a promising career.
That's one of the greatest moments of my life, and you will not take that from me.
I know it was. I'm not diminishing it.
Oh,
what
okay.
I'm saying is that people on Star Search, Justin Timberlake has been there, Britney Spears has been there, Sinbad was there,
Shanice has had more than that one song.
That's the only one I remember.
She's had a couple.
I don't remember any other songs.
Wow, I'm surprised.
Are you talking about Sinbad?
No, I said Sinbad got his popularity on that show.
He wasn't a kid on there. We're talking about the children.
Who else was on there that was a child? Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Usher, and whom else? No other kids.
Well, I mean, but look at the heights in which they've come.
I agree.
Who, Justin Timberlake and Usher?
And Britney Spears.
Yeah.
And,
Christina Aguilera was on there.
Christina
was on there.
Yeah, Christina Aguilera was on there.
Yeah, she was on Star Search.
You're absolutely right. I can't think of anybody else.
That's more than enough.
Really? That show was on for like 12 seasons.
No, I mean, but not with the kids. They did like a kid show every once in a while.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. And hold on. And this country group, Rascal Flatts.
Oh, yeah. Rascal Flatts.
They got this, I said. And they're a huge, huge, huge Rascal
You sound like you're about to...
You don't sound like E.T. again.
Yeah, like you're about to
phone
home.
Phone home.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sounds like you've eaten too many Reese's Pieces.
He got the long fingers.
That
he does.
Oh, and we're getting out of here. See you tomorrow, it's hump day, and we'll be on the primaries in Florida. It's Reese on the radio. We will talk to you.